Let's have a word of prayer. Then we'll go into our lesson for today about keeping our heart with all diligence against murders. Okay, we've discussed that about anger and so on. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We can come into your presence. Lord, we've come from different experiences. We've come from different things that have happened to us in the week. And sometimes the things, Lord, may be hard to get out of our minds. Especially if something that is not so pleasant. But yet, Lord, we thank you for the victory we can have, the grace that you have given to us, a strength that we have to get through, Lord, that trial. We thank you that we are here today. Lord, many Christians, think of Brasso, Lord, in China, that they come to church at a threat of imprisonment, at a threat and the risk of their lives. And yet, Lord, we have freedom here. We thank you. We are grateful. And Lord, we are thankful that we have the opportunity, Lord, to come freely without fear of imprisonment or threat to our lives, that we come into your presence. Oh, God, help us to have that heart of wanting to learn in this land of freedom. We pray for our brother, Lord, in China and different areas, Lord, that face constant persecution, constant opposition, just because they want to worship the God they love. And I pray, Father, that we will always be mindful of the freedom you have given to us and the freedom to serve you before you come. And Lord, right now, as we open your word to understand some of the things that can happen deep down in our hearts with regards to how we need to live our lives, Lord, we pray that your word will be the living light that will lead us to truth, that our lives may be controlled by the influence of the Holy Spirit, and that we will obey what you have for us. So, Lord, speak to us clearly, speak to us gently, because in some areas, Lord, you may have to do a little bit of surgery, and I pray your Holy Spirit will open up our mind and our heart of obedience towards a loving God who wants us to be more and more like you. Lord, we look forward to the day that we will see you. But in the meantime, help us just to be faithful in the little things that we know. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray for the Sunday school. We pray for every child that is here. We pray that they will grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we'll love them, Lord. That they'll know that Bethesda is a place, Father, that children can come and be loved and be cared for, and that they'll grow in Christ. Thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in your word. Use me as an unworthy servant, Lord, to share what you have in your word. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, please be seated. So what am I saying? So used to it already. All right. Well, we are. I think some of us went on Friday for the cycling. My children are still recovering from the aftermath of cycling and all that. Some people, my hair aching and all that kind of thing. But it was a fun time, it was a good time. And I think a blessing to share. The counter lady, I can't remember her name, the Filipino lady who was helping us. There was something that happened. Apparently, we saw the bicycles are not very good. So Jeremiah's bicycle, the chain fell off. So he called us and we had to arrange certain things. But as I went back to the lady to tell her that, the lady was very nice, and she actually said that she knew when we came that we were Christians, by the way we dealt with that. And she related how before that there were some very unreasonable customers who shouted at her, and banged table and that kind of thing, which she was very overwhelmed because it's a holiday, so many people was there. But when we came, and someone gave a tract to her, and there was, she felt a calm over her. That's what she said. She's a Catholic. I think probably there's this spirituality thing that she is. But she did say she prayed to whatever. But when we came, there was this sense of peace. Okay, I'm not drawing anything from there, but it was useful because we were able to make some connections and some friendships even there. So next time, if you go to, there's only one resort there in Pulau Ubin. So if you're going there, you can say we're from Ambassador. You'll probably see our track. The track was just placed right there in the office. So it was an opportunity to be a blessing. Okay? And so he was thankful that we could actually still, everyone go back safely. Some people fell. That's okay. Some people got bitten by fishes and all that. It was a fun time. It was really, really fun. But anyway, okay. So, all right, let's get into our lesson today. Keeping a heart with all diligence against murders. I hope you all have the lesson. Okay, I didn't get it out in time, so I printed it out separately. Hopefully, we will be able to follow through. Okay, last week we talked about the origin of anger. Okay, we talked about how Cain, okay, was involved in that. And we talk about Cain's situation, where the first murder for Cain, the plot of the murder had its roots in a heart not right with God. Okay, so remember, whenever we go into a situation that we look at a person with an eye that wants to get rid of that person and remove him or her from the face of this earth, it always have a root in a heart that is not right with God. Okay, based on Cain's testimony. Of course, there will be other variables that will come in that will say, oh, what about the other person, the type of things that the person continuously do. And sometimes it's hard for us to accept that this is our lot in life. But yet to want the death of another person, the murderous anger, has its root in a heart that is perhaps not very stable with God. Okay, not wanting God's way. And this passion, uncontrolled by the Holy Spirit, will result in people getting hurt. Okay, and I think we all know that, right? No one is, I think we all know of stories whereby, I think how many of you remember the story in Pasir Ris NTUC Resort whereby this guy just looked at another guy and that's it. One person died after that because of stabbing and things like this. just for no reason. This pride and this anger that just comes out of nothing. All right? I just read two verses. You don't have to turn. It's a recap from last week. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9 said, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry." Don't allow it to come out quickly. Because anger resteth in the bosom inside of fools. People who are unreceptive to the word of God. Okay? So that's a warning by Solomon to not be hasty inside of us to be angry, because why? Anger always starts from inside, okay? And then another verse, Proverbs 14:17, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Okay? "He that is quick to be angry dealeth in a foolish way." Okay? Now, then we talk about the Lord Jesus' teaching, right? I kind of printed out that particular passage that kind of summarizes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. And so on. So I just read and kind of summarize that. "He that hates his brother without a cause," remember the cause is without a Bible cause, without a real reason. After the whole final analysis, there was one situation we wanted to give a surprise birthday party for someone, okay? But that someone was very anxious to do something, but because the someone didn't know about the surprise birthday party, there was this delay in timing. See, this someone had to do something at a certain time, okay? And then the person who knew about the surprise party was with this someone. Does that make sense? And so these two persons was together doing something, but this person who knows it was a surprise party was quietly communicating with all the other people and realized there was a delay in time. So he was trying to stall the person. And that person, why are you so long? Why do you take so much time? You always waste time on that. So this person was angry at this person for stalling the time, you know. And then after that, later on, we realized that it was going to be a surprise birthday party. It's like, oh. Now sometimes we get angry over situations where we don't know what the whole story is. But you know what? Sometimes God is patient with us. Sometimes we get angry at God because we're not too sure what the situation is. God always has a plan. And that's why God wants us to be slow in that anger. But here, the Bible says, I'll be reading that quote there. "He that hates his brother without a cause is guilty of a violation of the sixth commandment," okay? "Thou shalt not kill. And shall be punished with a severity similar to that inflicted by the court of judgment." The court of judgment in Jewish time is a council of seven judges, okay? But then the second one, "He that shall allow his passion to transport him, to bring him to still greater. That means you not only are angry with the brother, you actually do more. You make him, I don't like you. It becomes a prejudice point. That brother becomes prejudiced. You become so prejudiced against the person. God says he shall be exposed to severer punishment corresponding to that which the Sanhedrin inflicts. And that usually is the death penalty. Okay? Because God says when you hate, it's equivalent to murder. When there's anger, you would ultimately lead to anger. But he who shall load his brother with abusive language shall incur the severest degree of punishment represented by being burnt alive in the horrid and awful valley of Hinnom. Basically, shall be in danger of hellfire. So, at one point, I want to highlight, if you look at Matthew chapter 5, I want to highlight that Jesus actually mentioned one very, very important word. Okay, what is one word that is repeated in verse 22? But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. What is the word that is repeated in that verse? There's one word. I know there's does and not, but there's one word that's repeated. What's that word? What? Hellfire. Is it repeated? It's only said once. What is one word that's repeated twice in that verse? Sorry? What? Brother. Interesting, eh? But I said, whosoever is angry with his brother. Someone with whom you have a close kinship with. And the Lord Jesus Christ is highlighting this very important principle. You know, being brothers or sisters in Christ within the local church, we are not to be angry with one another without a cause. And I believe the Lord Jesus is dealing with a very, very pertinent issue, which unfortunately is not just in the church, but also perhaps at home and times in places whereby you know there needs to be that kinship. The Bible actually says if you're angry with a brother, because there is already an existing relationship based on something that is precious. Okay, a family tie, for example, is based on blood ties, right? Within a family, there ought to be love for one another. We ought to love one another. There's as brotherly love. Within the local church or Christians, there is the blood tie of Christ sacrificed on us. We are brothers in Christ. And so Christ said, don't be angry with someone without a cause. Okay, it doesn't mean we don't be angry sometimes. If there's a cause, then we can be angry. But if there's no cause based on what God says, then we need to actually be very careful about our spirit when it comes to anger. Okay? Now, moving right along, any questions up to there? Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is the process of the development of this terrible condition of the heart. Okay? How does murder come about? I'll get Tim to just... I'll just pass this out to you. And I printed only about 25, so you may have to share. If you don't mind, just share. Just take one and share. Tim, you got it? Okay. I need to make adjustments to one particular part because I forgot to draw two arrows. Okay. But what I want to do is actually go through, point by point, how... Okay, can you see from there? Is it too small? There's a reference there, so you can actually use that as a reference. Okay. Is it clear? I don't know whether... Yeah, okay. Processes drawn from the Bible, how murders may set in. When we talk about murders means anger, the whole related anger, bitterness, and all the kind of things that set in, leading to just extreme, if necessary, murder of the person, okay? What I'd like to do is actually using this chart, and hopefully it's a model for our thinking. I'm not saying this is foolproof, but you will find that generally in natural observation, and also from what the Bible has to say, there seems to be a process that people go through leading to ultimately just a total rejection of what God says and how we can actually go back, okay? So we'll start with normal relationship, which is here, okay? This is the first one. Okay, I'll just orientate you to this. If it's white, that means it's actually a neutral kind of situation, okay? Neutral situation if it's white. If it's red, it means we are going towards sin, going towards the wrong things. Okay? If it's green, it means we are going back towards the right way again. You can't see the colors here. I'm sorry, you don't have caffeine, but you can kind of, if you want, you can put one arrow for good, the right way, two arrows for the wrong way kind of thing. So it guides you in how things should go. Okay? So in John chapter 13, verse 34, 35, we start off as Christians, we talk about Christians in a normal relationship. Jesus says we are to love one another as Christ has loved us, right? Okay? So that is actually a normal starting place for all relationships. Now, I think a few months ago, when we talk about friendships, what are four levels of friendships that we talk about? Those who can remember. There are four levels of friendships. The first one is acquaintance. Second one? Casual friends. Okay, then? Close friends and intimate friends. Okay, how would you define an acquaintance? Sorry? Hi, bye, friend. Okay, like those uncle at the char kway teow shop, chicken rice, auntie, ni hao, you know, hi, bye, you know. Okay, people in the in your house, they say, hey, uncle, how are you? Acquaintance, you know him. The second level? What's the second level? Casual friends, what? You usually do stuff together. That is casual friend. Casual friends is bound by, those people who go 30, 40, 50 years old, sometimes they gather together just to play soccer. Okay, they'll book a, maybe I know of one friend, he plays soccer with bankers and CEOs, and they book stadiums every Sunday just to play, just to exercise, okay? But those are casual friends. Casual friends are people who come together to do things together. Okay, what's the third level? Close friends. What are close friends? Close friends are people who can... See, casual friends don't share things. Close friends begin to share some struggles of life and stuff like this. Okay, but doesn't go into the intimate details by saying, no, I'm going through this. That's a close friend. Okay, and final intimate friends is basically we know everything about each other. Okay, like a husband and wife have to be intimate friends. You know everything about the person, the likes and the dislikes, the weaknesses and strengths. And basically, you're able to still live with one another. Okay? And you know, biblically speaking, the Christians, every Christian in the local church ought to operate from minimum close friends that we can actually share the things between one another. Okay? If all we come together is just on a casual friendship, there's no strength in relationship within the local church. Okay? And that's something that we need to learn. God wants us to move towards a strong church because unless we love one another according to God's will, the world cannot see that. Alright? Okay. So normal relationships, let's turn to Luke. Then we go up, the white one, to Luke 17:1. Offenses will come. That's what Jesus said. Okay? Luke 17:1. Maybe Luke 17 and verse 1. Just make notes along the way. Okay, in verse 1. I just read. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but offenses will come. What's Jesus saying? Offense will come. You know why it will come? Because we live in an imperfect world. Offenses will come. Okay, but of course Jesus then said, woe unto him through whom they come. Offenses have come through all of us in some way because we are all imperfect. Okay? We have to get ready for the thing that offenses will come. But Jesus did highlight, you need to be very careful that we are not the one bringing the offense through. Sometimes because of our foolishness, things that happen, offenses can be real. That means with an intention to hurt. Or offenses can be perceived. I think you are doing that. Okay? Both ways, there is an offense that comes through. And one of the things I like us to learn, whether we are right or wrong, if there's an offended person, our job is to apologize because something has been offended. Okay, whether it's real or perceived, that not material, we have to actually apologize if we are the cause. Okay, so once it reaches there, the red one, what we do is we end off in the good side. Okay, so we go down the red path first. Okay, in a fleshly way. Cain got angry. Yes? Okay, so we go down Cain's way. We go down the fleshly way first. We don't deal with the green one first, just the red way. So what in the Cain's way of flesh, we get angry at the particular person. So What Cain did was he got angry at God, actually. But because he cannot kill God, he took out on God's creation, Abel, okay, which is his brother. Okay? Now, it's a bit interesting here because from the fleshly way of Cain, you can't see inside yours. But the reason why there's a white and a red, God actually, anger does not necessarily mean is wrong. Okay? The reason why I put the little red there is because there could be the element of flesh that we are angry because we think that person is wrong. Okay? So, anger, not necessarily wrong, leads to Luke 17 verse 3. Okay? Let's look at that. Luke 17 verse 3. I'll just read verse 2 first and down. Verse 2 says, it were better for him that a millstone will hang about his neck and be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, what do? Rebuke him. Oh, you mean I can scold the brother? Yes, you can. You can. You have every biblical right to do it. The purpose of the scolding is not to punch him. The purpose is to feedback to him, hey, this is not right. Okay? So, we can feedback to the person, rebuke that person, okay? And if he repents, forgive him, okay? We talk about the other part here. Now, with this rebuking, I failed to do one thing, okay? You can draw it in your own line, okay? There's two ways anger can manifest itself. Firstly, in directing it at the person, which is the right way. You need to speak to the person privately, because if you're offended, speak to the person privately. That's the Bible way. But sometimes, what happens is this. You need to draw one more arrow here. We keep the anger. Okay? This is something that, but thinking through the process, some Christians actually keep the anger. They tell everyone else except that person. That is not the Bible way. Okay? God is very clear on that. So once you keep that anger, notice you don't deal with the source of the problem. The anger stays with you. Okay? The anger actually stays with you. From here, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. What God does is that He provides opportunities, like in Cain's situation, to get things right. He will engineer situations, SMSs, emails, whatever, just to get things right. And as believers, our job is to, the aim is reconciliation, okay? So God's grace comes in. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Maybe people on my left, you can read. On my left. People on my left here. Hebrews 12, 15. Ready? 1, 2, go. Looking diligently, lest any man fail. Grace of God. Lest any rule. Okay, the first part of the verse is very important. Looking diligently. In other words, as we go through, interestingly, I was looking through this passage. Notice in verse 14, Paul, I believe the author is Paul. Paul says, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. In other words, do all you can to be at peace with men. Do all you can. Okay? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do all you can. All right? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. This verse implies that when you're going through the hard time of going down the track of anger, God is providing opportunities like He provided for Cain to get things right. Okay? Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay, so you see God's grace here, and then let's say if we go down the red path, we reject the grace. I don't want that. Just like Cain. What happens? Once you reject the grace, you are saying, no, God, I don't want what you think is right. I just do it. One, I think the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you. You start corrupting yourself. You start corrupting yourself. And then after that, you start corrupting others, and then others be defiled. And you know, it goes a bit further. We become enslaved in that bitterness. You know why God wants us to let it go? Because God knows it will eat us up. And the longer I'm a Christian, the more I realize the reason why I give commandments for us For example, in the Old Testament, when you give the commandments, you're not supposed to eat shellfish, you're not supposed to, you know why? Because God wants to protect the health of the Israelites. Yes? Right? Now, God says, if you eat that, you are unclean, you cannot come into my presence. That's pretty serious. Right? But you know, it dawned on me, as a growing Christian, that when God gave his commandments to stop us from doing something, actually, when we understand it, I said, actually, it's not too bad. But the thing we need to understand is, why did God make it so serious that if you do this, you cannot come into my presence? Why? Because he knows sinful nature always wants to do the wrong thing. And if you, just like Adam and Eve, when they took of the fruit, is there anything wrong with eating a fruit? Nothing wrong, right? But it is what God said. The authority has said, you're not supposed to eat that. You know what we tend to do? Why not? We begin to challenge the situation. Remember this, the moment instruction is given, and we challenge the question. We're not just challenging the question, we're challenging the person. Please understand that. You're challenging the person. That was why Adam and Eve fell into sin and condemned the entire world in God's sight. Is God petty? No, he's not. God is holy. And that's something we need to understand, okay? So we cannot reject what God gave to us without corruption to us and corruption to other people. Imagine, let's say, if I harbor an angry attitude every day. You know what's going to happen to my family? My family is going to be an angry family. Because the Bible says what? Make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways. In the book of Proverbs. You remember the verse? Make no friendship with an angry man, because if you keep getting close to him, you know what? You're always having to react to his anger. Some of you have bosses that, I don't know, maybe always angry on. After a while, you get irritable because you got to report to him, and every time he scolds you, and then after that, some of you, I think there was this video about this boss hitting this employee. How many of you saw that? I'm not too sure whether that's real or not, but apparently, you know, after a while, you will become like the person. Okay? What happens is that there's enslavement. Let's turn to Matthew 18:35. What does God actually put in? Matthew 18, verse 34 and 35. This is an interesting passage because what Jesus was teaching the Jewish people was this. There was this, unjust steward. Okay, just an unforgiving servant. Sorry, unforgiving servant. He owed. Verse 24 first. He brought. There were two persons. Okay, one servant came and owing 10,000 talents. That would be equivalent to $20 million today. Okay, $20 million. We definitely cannot pay. This man cannot pay, and so the king actually says, "I waive your $20 million." Can you imagine? I waive your $20 million. You don't have to pay. Just let you go free. Okay? But then this guy have another person who owe him $20. $20. Okay? And the Bible says that he did not actually forgive this small offense, so-called, and actually threw this person into prison. When the fellow servants saw this person who was forgiven of so much, they got a bit, hey, that's not right. Went to tell the king brought him, hey, what's this I heard? And what's happened is the Lord Jesus in verse 33 says, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Can anyone remember what is the root meaning of compassion? 2 weeks ago I mentioned that. It comes from the word Hebrew word womb. Womb. Okay? Now what does that mean? It means that whenever you have compassion on someone, you're giving that person a second chance. The womb always represents new life. That was in the Hebrew thinking. That's why in Isaiah 49:15, can a mother forget her child and not have compassion on the child of her womb? And even if that mother forgets, God says, I will never forget. There's a Hebrew thought about the compassion in the womb, because compassion has the idea of giving the person a second chance. How many of us need second chances? We all need second chances. That's why Jesus was teaching a very important lesson at the time and says, look, should not I give you a second chance? Should not you have a second chance on this other brother? You know what happened? Because of the action of this person who rejected what God had, God actually put this on the person. His Lord now was angry, and it was just anger because it was sin against grace. Does that make sense? The reason why the Lord was angry because his servant sinned against grace. Grace was given to him, but he refused to give it to someone else. Okay, so what happened? The Bible says, and delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. There are two thinking on this idea of tormentors. One was apparently a Jewish culture whereby when a person owes something and doesn't pay, they will deliver him to this group of people called the tormentors. Everywhere he go, they will carry this person. Say, hey, the guy owe money, you know, bang, 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 bang. Everywhere he went, he would say, oh, the person pay money, don't pay, no, owe money, pay money. No. And everywhere he will be so embarrassed, that he will be forced to do something about it. He will pay. And he says that he will pay all until it's due. Okay. Another thought on this is some counselors actually believe that when a person refuses to forgive, the corruption sets into their heart so bad that it literally eats up their life. Everything they see is anger and prejudice and anger. They can't have a proper relationship because everything is not nice, because they are all clouded because they choose to keep that bitterness. Okay? And you know what happens at the end? In order to have let out, I didn't write here, the Bible, Jesus actually mentioned anger will lead to murder. Okay? And sometimes, that's why sometimes you see in Chinese serials, they say, don't ever let me see your face again. Because if I see you, I'll kill you. That kind of thinking. You know what? We may not do it as Christians, but when we have that thought to Jesus, it's sin. And he doesn't want us to have that. Why? Because he wants us to be free, to know the truth and be free. Okay? Any questions up to there? I added this in because I believe at that time, even living in an age of grace, God still have His Holy Spirit to still constantly work on the person. If we belong to God, God's not going to abandon us. Amen? No matter how hard. You know, I know of some Christians who carry that, but you know what? They still come to church camps, they still come to church and all that. You know what that's happening? You know, it's amazing how a person with that perhaps bitterness still come. You know why? You know what's happening? God's saying, hey, let's deal with it. And what God is doing is still giving that drawing grace. Come, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. And God keeps us in a place where His grace is constantly manifested. So that we say, God, I saw, I cannot take it anymore. I let you take charge, okay? So, any questions up today? I believe God's grace continually still works in that person. If you are genuine Christian, if you really, I believe in the heart, all of us love God. If that's true, God will never let us go. Just as a father and a mother who love a child and knows that this child hates someone else, in your mind you will keep thinking, hey, you need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. You look at your relationship, look at what you're doing. You need to deal with that. Okay? Any question? Any questions? Please, this is just a guide, okay? It's not foolproof, but I believe that if you kind of follow through with the Bible verses, you begin to realize there's actually a trend, okay? You know, in counseling others, perhaps you may speak to people who, I cannot stand my whoever, who maybe 5 years ago did this, I still cannot forgive him, or that kind of thing. What about that? Still cannot forgive him. No, you can actually tell him, where are you at? You can ask, is God, are you still in church? Yeah, I'm still in church. Well, God's grace is still extended to you to settle things. All right. Any questions for this way? Now, I'll just go through the green one, but after that, I'll go back here to see how we can actually nip it in the bud. We'll deal with that later. Let's say we keep the anger up to here, and God's grace is manifested, and you tell God, God, you're right, I'm wrong, I shouldn't be keeping that. Then there's repentance. In order for genuine coming back out of bitterness, there needs to be an absolute change of mind. There is no, you cannot say, okay lah. You cannot say, I will forgive, but don't expect me to forgive. That kind of thing, There must be a genuine repentance biblically. And then it actually not takes it back all the way. Okay, there needs to be actually one more arrow here. Offender accepts for us for forgiveness and reconciliation. Okay? It could be here, it could be here as well. That you say, rather than keep my anger, I need to deal with it. I speak to that person. And because you already have a repentant heart, it should get you to accept that brother again. Does that make sense? Okay? So going back there, now I'll go from this side. Okay? I'll go this side. So once you've accepted the brother, it goes right up the green one and you should go back to the normal relationship. A good example from scripture was when Peter sinned against God. All right, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul scolded Peter in front of everyone. Okay? Now, I do not believe that Peter actually had a grudge against the Apostle Paul, but he did actually commend the Apostle Paul later on in 2 Peter. So it shows that there was normalization of relationships. Even with Paul and Silas. All right, Paul didn't want John Mark to follow him. Why? Because he left the ministry. He said, I'm doing the work of God. How can you just abandon me like this? You know, because John Mark left a part of the ministry called Barnabas took him in. But later on, there was back to reconciliation because John Mark also repented and decided that he was going to serve God. And then later on, the Apostle Paul was willing to accept him again. All right? I dare say the Apostle Paul is not without his own struggles. Okay? But he knows the right thing. And it's a pattern for us to accepting a brother, even though there was an offense related. Okay? Now, going back to the normal, stop me, right, if you don't understand what I'm talking about. But coming back to here, normal relationships, if there's a perceived offense, what can we do as Christians? Let's say if our hearts are clean, there's nothing wrong now, what should we do when there's an offense that comes in? Three things, okay? Let's turn to the three verses. Maybe we'll get, maybe Sister Elizabeth, we can turn to Psalm 119, verse 165. Maybe Brother DeLeon, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. And then let's all turn to Colossians 3. I've used this in my own life. So I'm teaching you what we call experiential theology. It means I believe it works. I know it works because God uses it or God puts it in the Bible. In Psalm 119 and 165, can you please read that? Okay, you need to memorize this. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Dr. Ron Comfort was sharing her message that he shared. There was one black man, who attended Ambassador Baptist College. And he actually shared over his message that he told this so-and-so in his interview with him, you need to memorize this verse. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I think Dr. Ron Comfort is concerned about perhaps sometimes racism may happen. He said, I don't want you to be offended by that. And the way to avoid that is to constantly having God's word in your mind. Okay? The first point is refuse to be offended. Refuse to be offended. Say, God's law, if God accepts me, why should I be offended by something? It might be a genuine offense. So what? No, I've took that, I learned that in my life. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it? But God's word is always true. God's law is in your heart. Nothing shall offend. Refuse to be offended. Okay? There's this word called take offense. You know what I mean? Take offense? Literally, we are taking the offense. It wasn't intended for us, but we took it. A good illustration of this is, let's say if A offended B, and then C took offense at what happened between, and become, how dare you do this to B? Does that make sense? Taking the offense. There was one guy, it's a little funny, I was watching soccer, there's these two teams. I was in BT Secondary School. These two teams was... So there was one guy who, you know, like sliding tackle, you know, people will fall down and things like that. Well, then this guy went in from the defender position, ran. I thought what he was doing. He went and poof! And this guy was a prefect. I said, you don't have to do that. What did he do? A, slide and tackle. B, fell, right? Then C came and took offense and gave it to the other person. Right. It happens all the time in soccer. Okay, this A trip B, B fight A, then C come D, E, F, G. Offense come in and start eating. That's taking offense, okay? know, as Christians, you know, if we would just practice this, meditate on God's word, let God's word control us, refuse to be offended, refuse, no matter what the person does. Brother Johnny, it's very hard. Yes, it is. Accepting a brother is not natural. Because sinful nature says, I want my way, and if you offend my way, you get it. But yet, when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, great peace have they that love thy law. When we put our hearts on what God says, God says, you love your brother. Yes, Lord. I'll just accept. No matter how painful. Can you imagine what Jesus had to bear through when he was crucified? And I think the crucifixion by the Roman soldiers is not the issue. It's the abandonment by the people who claimed to love him. Peter who denied him. We need to learn that. That's the first thing. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, the next one.
Charity never fails, but when the prophecy fails, whether they punish whether they're not,
okay, I missed it. It's actually 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Okay, verse 7 says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. In other words, we need to have a heart of complete, unconditional love for each other. That's hard, but that's God's way. Okay, that means we bear all things. The idea of bearing all things means bearing all things, just carry the load if I need. I had a captain who, when we were actually doing our 24-kilometer route march, that ended up to be 30-kilometer route march. We were supposed to end at 8 o'clock. We were so happy. And then, so five more clicks, guys. What? So we sang after. He said, why got five clicks? Five clicks, we can't 10 to 15 kilometers because we ended at 12 o'clock, midnight. You know, as long as we were carrying, I was carrying the 84. 84 is a big recorder's rifle. Then our captain came by and said, hey, Tan. Give me the. No, sir, never mind. Take it, give me. So he just bought a load and just carried that recoilless rifle with us. And of course, I respect him for it. But you know what? He's the one that said tough training is the best welfare. But he did try to kind of bear the load. You know, as Christians, we need to bear the load of one another. We all have loads, amen? We all have loads. Whether it's family, whether it's work, whether it's church, whether it's whatever, we have loads. Charity beareth all things. And this is important, believeth all things. Genuine love actually believes all things. Believe in a simple way. One thing I've learned, I'll just share my experiences. I've learned to always say, whatever the person have done to myself, he or she didn't mean it. He or she didn't mean it. He or she didn't mean it. Am I psychoing myself? No. God says, believe all things. Believe that their brother didn't mean it. Believe that their sister didn't mean it. Can you imagine what Jesus... How did Jesus respond to Judas? Friend. Friend. That was mercy. Of course, he dealt with Judas' betrayal, dealt me with a kiss. Just because we say we didn't mean it doesn't mean we don't actually bring it up as a situation. Does it make sense? We still love the brother. Hey. I believe you don't mean it, but why are you doing it? You know? I think we have that. I think in relationships it's complex. That there's a place where you just ask why. But you know, the Bible says, bottom line is, we still believe that person, that he didn't mean it. Okay? The next one, Lord, hopeth all things. Hopeth of the best. Okay? In the army, they always say what? Hope. Be prepared for the worst, hope for the best. Hope for the best. And finally, endureth all things. If really it's really bad, then the Bible says just endure. Endure, okay? So, believe the person. Let's look at Colossians 3. This is a very important part in human relationships with regard to guarding our heart so that this hatred and this anger don't set in so easily. Colossians 3, verse 12. Let me read through. This is very important. Let's start with verse 11. Paul was dealing with Colossae. Colossae was a Gentile nation, a Gentile city. Okay? They don't have the knowledge of God's word in the Jewish culture. And so Paul had to teach them. Okay? Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, born nor free, But Christ is all and in all. This is important because in a church of diverse races, diverse cultures, we have to understand, even in Ambassador, you can be Filipino, Indian, whatever. Apparently there's someone, Indian family from another church like to transfer to our church because of distance again. So if they come, if they're Indian, Jesus says, there's no difference. We're all the same. Our foundation is the blood of Christ, not the country in which we were born. Amen? Okay? So therefore, when we are in this church, it's one. Notice in verse 12, Paul then says, put on therefore as the elected of God. Those Christians, people whom God has loved, holy, set apart, and beloved. Our position is that we've been set apart by God, and we are loved by God. That's what Paul is telling the Colossian church. Put on as Christians who are being set apart, who are being loved by God, put on what? Bowels of mercies. The word bowels have the idea of inside, where our bowels are, okay? What Paul is saying, as Christians, start with the inside. Put love, lots of love inside. Kindness, always doing good to someone else. Humbleness of mind. Don't ever think that we are higher than we ought to. Meekness, having self-control. Then meekness is power under control. Long-suffering, literally. Long-suffering, the word, was coined by William Tyndale when he was trying to express the long-suffering of God, that God will suffer long. Okay, the word long-suffering is actually coined by William Tyndale when he was translating the scriptures. And what's the best way of looking about God? God is always suffering long with us. When we go against Him, when we hurt Him, God is suffering long. So that's why long-suffering came up. And then in verse 13, forbearing one another. He goes into the active. Firstly, in verse 12, put on. Then in verse 13, forbear. The word forbear means to tahan. Okay, endure. Forbear means to forbear. This person, like that, okay. No choice, you know, I have to go through this. Just tahan him, tahan my boss. Every day I tahan him for 8 hours and go home, forget about him. That's forbearing. Forbearing one another. Do you realize when we have this attitude where we look at someone and say, no choice, I got to work with him, okay, no choice, I just forbear. The word forbearing means to tahan. We tahan alone, we still explode at the end. Because after a while, some things will just tick us off. No. Paul then goes on to the next point, and forgive. The word forgive means give that person what he doesn't deserve. Go one more step. Because forgiveness starts with grace. Okay? Forgiving one another, then Paul makes it very clear. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ, notice Paul always goes back to who Jesus is. Even as Christ forgave, you forgive too. You know what? Paul didn't end there. It's because sometimes when we forgive, the heart is still hurting. You know what God says? Verse 14, above all these things, put on unconditional love, which is the bond of perfection, of maturity. We can endure. We can even forgive. Paul says, no, that's not enough. I want you to move on to maturity. Love that person. Do kind things to that person. Say kind things to that person. Do all you can for that person, irregardless of what the person has done to you. What verse comes to your mind when I actually is relating this tree, do kind things and all that? What verse will come to your mind? What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? Love your animals. No, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Jesus was giving an instruction to the Jewish culture that hated the Romans. But Jesus says, love your enemies. That is incredible. That is out of this world, literally. Our kingdom is not of this world because Jesus came from somewhere else to give us His love so that we can influence His love. These people here, back to Him. That's why He needs to put in us a different set of principles, okay? So in this situation, Paul talks about, and above all this, after you've tolerated, after you've forgiven, don't just stop there. Put on unconditional love. Love that person. Love that person. Do kind things to that person. You know what you're doing when you do that? Do kind things to the person. Literally, like Jesus, you are giving that person a second chance. We all need second chances. As long as there's life, there's always hope for change. Amen? As long as there's life, there's always hope for change. And when, unless God takes me away, then that's the end of the story. But when there's life, there's always hope for change. Okay? So, we need to learn to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 just simply says what? Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Don't be hardened. That's why we need to deal with the issues of the heart. Forgiveness is an issue of the heart. Be kind one to another. In other words, our outlook towards another person must always be doing good to that person. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake. You know how tender-hearted God must be to forgive us? The amount of sins that we sin against Christ on a daily basis. Jesus, God says, you forgive just as I forgive you. Okay? With that, after you've done the three, you go back all again to the normal relationships again. You normalize the relationship back to as if it's never happened. Justification. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Now feel free to ask questions or if you don't agree with certain things. That's fine because this is just a model guide. But I believe very much that it does happen. I've seen it happen enough to just think through, okay, this could be this, and then looking at the different scriptures that actually happen, you find that there is actually a trend in the process that happens in the human heart. But God wants us to stay. That's why we need to deal with it straight away. Okay, so what do we do? Okay. Any questions? Any questions? Let me just maybe finish, then after that we can have a quick time. How do I then keep my heart against murder or don't use the word murder, anger. All right, anger that actually leads to murder. Okay, all right. Let's come back to your notes again. The points are there. Number one, Proverbs 23 verse 26. Give God your heart. Give God your heart. First point, you need to give God your heart. Because if you're still keeping your heart and what you feel, you'll find that you will still at liberty to do what is the wrong thing. Give God your heart. Proverbs 23, 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Give God your heart and let God actually, or let yourself actually observe God's ways, okay? Any questions? Quite straightforward. Second one is deny not themselves, deny yourselves. Matthew 16:24. What I've just shared with you about loving enemies need us to surrender ourselves firstly to God. We need to deny ourselves. Matthew 16:24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Okay? The word deny means absolutely zero to self. We don't want anything to do. Basically, an absolute rejection, abhorrence of self, denying ourselves. The idea is actually whatever I want, whatever I feel, whatever I love, no longer important. And that's hard, isn't it? But that's, would you agree with me that that's the way of the Savior? That's the way of our Lord Jesus Christ? That even looking at Judas Iscariot who betrayed him, looking at Peter who claimed to die for him, and yet he was able to forgive, that can only come from the heart of God. And you know what? God wants to develop that in us as well, in maturity. All right? So, we need to deny ourselves. Sometimes you deny yourself in tears. God, I can't do it, but you can, God. I will. I wanted to read a story that I think Joanna wrote. Not a story, but it's actually her literature about Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom actually had a hard time. Apparently, in the book that she was reading, The Hiding Place, right? Hiding Place. About, apparently, after the whole episode of the Holocaust, Corrie Ten Boom was in the church. And in the church, he actually met one of the German people in the church service, who later on came to want to shake her hand, to thank her for God's grace and all that. It was after the Holocaust. She's already been freed. And this German soldier came to him, sorry, I can't remember, did you apologize? No, he didn't. Just said, thank Corrie Ten Boom for her testimony in the prison camp. And Corrie Ten Boom was just writing her own thoughts. When the guy put up his hand, she had a hard time putting up her hand. Because she saw what they did to the sister, they saw what the father and the brother died in prison. How can she shake hands with someone who killed my family? You know what she did? She prayed, God, I cannot forgive. But you have to help me to forgive. And the forgiveness that I'm going to give to him is a forgiveness that you are giving me. And so she forgave that person in the name of Jesus. I know as I was reading that in my Joanna's essay, it was so powerful for me as I was preparing this. I was actually just preparing this. And isn't it true? Sometimes humanly we just can't do it. But we say, God, I obey you. And later on she actually shook the German soldier's hand. And I forgive you in the name of Jesus. And that's what it means. You know, Paul says, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in my flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, when Paul lived his life, not by what he can do, but what Jesus can do through him. And so Jesus was able to help Corrie ten Boom forgive because Jesus gave his forgiveness to Corrie and Corrie gave it to this man. And you know what? When that obedience happens, it becomes part and parcel of us as well. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes when I preach, I realize I always touch on two things. Word of God and obedience. You realize that when we just have these two, your Christian life will go leaps and bounds. What God says, I obey. What God says, I obey. What God says, I obey. We will grow. All right? So, deny ourselves. Okay, the next one is meditate daily, regularly, and diligently on the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 165. That's how we talk about. A great peace have they that love thy law. Not just read thy law, love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay? The next one, we talk about it also. Forgive immediately. Nip it in the bud. Okay? Don't worry about it. It's over. It's okay. No matter how bad it is, it's okay. Sometimes it's hard. You can scold a person if you want to. But you know, when I remember, rebuking is feedback. Okay? Just don't keep that anger. Okay? Forgive immediately, but deal with it if you need be. Believe that person, he didn't mean it. However, I'm not saying therefore be naive. If you know that person is deliberately trying to do something intentional with you, don't be naive. Still says, yeah, deal with him. Have the wisdom to be able to discern whether the person is intentional or not. All right? God doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to be thinking. Okay? Ezekiel 44 and verse 36, I believe, talking about, they shall teach them the difference between the holy and profane and be able to discern between the pure and the holy. We need to be able to discern. If this person is out and out to get our money, and we don't know this person, I just received an SMS from someone. I have a business proposal with you for $8 million. Are you interested? Email me. Yes. Then I SMS back, ha 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 ha. That's my standard. So now I don't reply. But you know, if it's a brother, knowing the trend of the brother's life, unless it's really gone wayward, you know, we need to learn to just believe that person. It wasn't intentional. And that's an important principle. Believe that person. Point six. Obey God by principle. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. So that we can build God's love into our hearts. Obey God by principle. That simply means whatever God says, I'll obey. I don't understand, never mind. If God said it, I'll obey. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Obey God by principle. You know, one of the things I appreciate about, there was one book I was reading, Living a Principle Obedient Life or something like that. It means obedience is a principle, non-negotiable. I need to obey. You know, in the front cover, you know what's the front cover? The pictures of military men. Military men just obey. If that's what he says, that's what I'll do. They may have our thoughts, but if that's what he says, what I'll do. You know, think about our HQ and all that, they may make mistakes, God doesn't. Amen? God does not make mistakes. We need to live by principle obedience. 1 John 2:5. Let's read together. Okay, ready? Ready, one, two, go. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Okay? Whoso keepeth his word, obedience, in him verily is what? Is what? When you obey God, what happens? In that person is the love of God matured. I believe this with all my heart. When you obey God, your love for others will mature. Because in the loving others, you need to obey God. Forgive. Give in. Love your enemies. Pray for him, etc. When you obey God, it will mature you. And I think we all know this, because the more we just do what we're supposed to do, over time, it becomes part and parcel of our habit. Yes, on Friday, we were at the fish spa. Okay? it's interesting. The fishes, you know, in usually fish spa, if I'm not wrong, the fishes are all silvery, small in size. This fishes was about this size, and it's black. You don't believe we have evidence. Okay? Can tell you the first time when they start nibbling, it's like, whoa! Start kicking. Then Brother Song Ling was beside me. The moment I kick his leg out, all the fishes will go to his leg, and he starts to, because he was so... But you know what? The longer that we just put our leg in, it just tahan. Well, Jacob was... He was trying to really control himself. But when he cannot... the moment you lift your leg up, the fishes will all go to another target. Okay? But I found that after about 10, 15, 20 minutes, we were just kind of talking to one another, and we were just letting the fish kind of nibble, 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 nibble. And at certain times, it was just horrendous. It's kind of like about 50 cockroaches on your legs, because you're all black. And they're climbing up. Because they're just... And the irritating thing is it's ticklish. It's very, very ticklish. Now some of the ladies were kicking the fish out. But what I'm trying to say is, well, the longer we just kind of... We know we had to put our leg in so that the fish can actually... After a while, we kind of get used to it. Okay? It can go either way. When we have a habit of obedience to God, it doesn't seem that bad. But, you know, sometimes we can also get into a habit of disobeying God. And it doesn't seem that bad after a while as well. Christians don't go down the track of disobedience. If God says do it, just do it. And sometimes it's hard at first, but over time you realize it is actually for our good. Okay, obey God immediately as a principle. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, ignore people's offenses against you by love. By love. Why I say love? And above all things, 1 Peter 4, 8, have fervent charity among yourselves. You know what's fervent charity? Don't just have unconditional love, no. Have boiling hot. To the point that you love the person so much, you kind of smother the person in your love. Fervent charity. Make it explicit. Alright? Open rebuke, for example, is better than secret love. Alright? Some people say, no, I like to give private. Fine, it's okay. Some people are a bit shy, but you know, God has fervent charity, hot boiling, that people can see and feel. We can feel heat, right? Fervency, okay? Because Peter says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity, unconditional love, will cover multitude of sins. Because it's unconditional. Because it's unconditional. There's no expectation. God's love is so perfect that no matter how much we sin against Him, He still loves us. You know, that's the love of parents for children. No matter how children just understand this, sometimes when parents just let it go, doesn't really mean they let it go. It's just that they love you, they want to give you another chance. Does that make sense? I'm a parent, and I know I've been given many chances at home. But you know what? That's God's love for us. You know, if we need a church, we need to imitate what God says. Just cover a multitude of sins. Of course, if it's a genuine sin, we need to deal with it. Just because we cover it, the word covering the sin has the idea of protecting the reputation. But just as in the Old Testament, sacrifice only covers the sin, it doesn't take it away. Does it make sense? It still has to be dealt with. Privately, protecting that person, until the person deal with it, it's all over. Of how to keep my heart against anger and murder is, remember the reason why God placed us here. No, as Christians, we need to remember this. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 53 to 56. Luke chapter 9, verse 53 to 56. Okay, I'll just quickly go through it, okay? This verse is very important. One of the ways we can keep our heart against being completely angry with the person to the point to hate the person is to remember why we are here. Jesus and the disciples were going through the city of Jerusalem. They had to pass by Samaria. And the Samaritans did not receive him. Verse 9:53, Luke. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. That means that they recognize him as a Jew. And Samaritans hate Jews and Jews hate Samaritans. Full stop, okay? No one, they will never eat together, never talk to one another. They hate one another. 54. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? You know, did they have righteous anger? No, they had prejudice. God, this guy, I want to call fire down and just kill these people and get rid of them, man. What did Jesus say? He turned and scolded them. Jesus said, ye know not what manner of spirit are ye. For the Son of Man hath not come to destroy man's life, but to save it. Christians, when there's a temptation to get angry at someone, remember the purpose we are here for is to restore men's lives. And I think Pastor John has mentioned many times in Faith Bible Institute, and I think I believe it's very true. Many times people who hurt are people who are hurting. There's something in their lives that they just cannot resolve, and therefore they are always hurting others. You know what we need to do? Look at them with God's eyes. Look at them with God's eyes and say, look, Lord, is there something I can do to help this brother? He may be shouting at me, but there's something in his life that Lord needs handling. Okay? Remember what the reason why God placed us here. We are to be lights to this world. We are to be comfort and love for someone else. Okay? I just very quickly go, what if I have cause in my heart? What if I have the origin of hatred and anger in my heart? I just quickly go through some points, then we'll finish. Okay, I'll try to finish this. Number one, acknowledge our personal relationship with Christ and thank God for His love. That's always a starting point. When you're angry with someone, always remember your relationship with Christ, how Jesus forgave you. Okay? Don't compartmentalize this. This on Friday I talk about. Don't compartmentalize my love for God and my love for human beings are two different things. No, it's not. It's two the same. Remember what's a great commandment in the law? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Two are together. Acknowledge first. Once you acknowledge that, then identify if you do have the prejudice, do have the hatred or anger against anyone on this earth. Okay? Psalm 139:23-24, the Bible says what? Search me, O God, know my heart. Sometimes we can say, no, I don't. God says, yes, you do. Okay? And we need to be honest about it. And then, it's very important, decide to surrender in the area. The reason why I say this is because in my own experience, if we don't decide in our heart to forgive, you will never forgive. Whether the person is there or not, in the privacy of your devotions, maybe God has spoken to your heart, no one is there, you may just need to say, yes, Lord, you are right. I forgive the person right now, Lord. Forgive me that I've held on to this anger for so long. I forgive. Okay? Decide to surrender in the area. In Matthew 5:3, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit means that surrendering. Say, Lord, I can't do it. I'm weak. I need your help. Decide to surrender in the area. Point four, forgive straight away. Forgive straight away where you are. It means that it is so important to verbally say that, Lord, I'm sorry for keeping this attitude of unforgiveness against so and so. Please forgive me my unforgiveness. I put a question there. What if I cannot do so? What if I cannot forgive this person? What do I do? What do you do? Any questions? Oh, no questions. Any thoughts? What if you find that you cannot forgive this person? What do you do? What do you do? Anyone? What do you do? This is always a dilemma. When you counsel someone, the person says, I really cannot forgive. You know what you do? You know, as a Christian counselor, you probably have to say, you have no choice. Either you do it or you disobey God. In a gentle way, lah. Okay? But also highlight the fact that if you choose not to forgive, corruption will start to eat in. We can cover it up, it will eat up somewhere else. Okay? Because God's will is for us to be reconciled. And to forgive, right? So it's important to, what if I cannot? When I say that you have to give him a choice, personally, let's say if we have that, Lord, I cannot forgive, I've learned this, and I believe this with all my heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me, and find me, if ye will seek me with all your heart." That simply means you need to cry out to God. God, I know it's right. I can't do it, but God, I want to do it. But God, I can't. I need your help. You cry out to God like a little child. Say, "Papa, I cannot do it. I need to." No, well, Papa, that's a child out. Right? I'm scared. Maybe all the cockroaches and all that. Papa just comes in and just carries him out of the situation. Why? Papa is all powerful. Remember, you don't need the faith of Elijah to call God. You need the faith of a mustard seed. Okay? You need the faith of a mustard. If you know that God can help you, cry out with all your heart to Him. God will always hear the cry of someone who says, "I cannot do it. God, I need your help." Okay? And then, point number five, pray daily for the offender. This is what my pastor in Australia taught me. You need to pray for the person on a regular basis. Because if you are praying for the person, you cannot hate the person. After all, you may hate the person, but after a while, as you are praying for the person, the love of Jesus comes here. Because you are praying for them that despitefully use you. You are doing a spiritual activity to help you overcome the flesh. Pray for the person on a daily basis for the Lord to bless the individual. Then point six, ask for an opportunity from God to tell the individual that you forgive the person. Clear it. I've learned, and it was many years ago, I did a process. Why, brethren, not an ambassador, but other churches that I've seen, why do brethren cannot come together? I realized one thing, a person will say, "I forgive him, but I never want to see him again." That's not reconciliation. It's not. It's not reconciliation. If you realize when Joseph forgave the brothers, you know what he said? Genesis 45, "Come near to me." Joseph struggled, you know. Initially, when he married the Egyptian wife and the children, "God had made me forget my sorrow." It was only temporary because the brothers came. And God says, "No, you got to deal with this." You know what, Joseph, if you read the account, I preached through it two or three times, you study, you realize that Joseph struggled. Remember, sometimes he had to go in and cry. Why? Because he cannot take it. To the point that he realized, "Hey, I need to let it go. I forgive." Because when he saw the brothers were repentant, he says, "Who am I? God is bringing them here. I need to forgive." The principle of reconciliation is always, "Come near to me." Okay? Ask for an opportunity to tell the individual you forgive that person. And do something kind to that person. Put on charity. Do something kind to the person. That's the hardest part. You can ask me, "Forgive him. I can work with him, but don't tell me." Whenever we have that "don't tell me to do this" situation, we need to deal with that, okay? Do something kind to that person. Keep on doing this until God gives complete victory. Okay, you know what? Glorifies God, reconciliation. Because that is the essence of the redemption story. Reconciliation between God and man, and then man and man. Okay, there was a situation, just to close with a story, a situation, two deacons who married sisters. One sister was always poking her nose into the other people's affairs and was not happy that the other deacon was not treating her sister well. Okay, so this sister from another marriage, disturbing that, "Oh, why are you like that?" The deacon got angry. Okay, they got angry. It later on caused conflicts between the other deacon and the sister. Alright? And that over time caused a deep resentment and hatred for the sister. This deacon hated the sister and, of course, hated the other deacon as well. These are deacons, okay? You know, the resentment lasted 7 years. 7 years. Until, finally, the Lord sent a mediator who worked with them for a month, met with them 3 times a week separately, prayed with them, used the word. God broke them, brought the two deacons together, and they were fully reconciled because of the word of God and by prayer. They were willing to put aside, "No, look, this life is too short to fight. We've got work to do." Yes, it's an offense, but you know, let it go. If Jesus forgave us, we need to forgive. In conclusion, let's just obey John 13, verse 34. The Bible says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another, and by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Any questions as we close? I know it's really drawing thin. I don't want to finish this. So this is the second of our series whereby we talk about how to keep our heart against murders. Last time we talked about evil thoughts, now murders. Next one we talk about adultery, which is another thing. Any questions? Feel free to email me, SMS me, let's discuss. All right, some of the processes, I'm sure there'll be variables inside there. But you know, at least if we have a framework that we can help our children, we can counsel people in our workplaces that may have this hatred, hopefully it will help, and hopefully it will help ourselves. Let's keep our hearts free from this, okay, that God may help us to love one another as He's loved us. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You're a God of love. God, You're not just giving love, You are love. And Father, when You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross, it was a manifestation to the world how great Your love was. And we thank You for it. But God, You know, in interpersonal human relationship, there will be always that thing which lead us astray in the wrong things. Help us, Lord, never to forget Your love. Help us to learn to forgive as You forgave us. Help us to learn to love as You love us. God, thank You for all the things that You are doing. God, that may it best be a church that will love according to Your love and will forgive according as You forgive. That, Father, we'll always be able to be bound together. Yes, we are different, Lord. Yes, we are all made up of different backgrounds and persuasions. But God, we thank You that in Jesus we are one. And we pray that we'll endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, Lord, thank You for this lesson. Bless the fellowship. We've got about 10, 15 minutes, Lord. We pray that we'll be able to prepare our hearts for the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we have about 10, 15 minutes before the service. Say hi to Gary, Isaiah, and Isaac, right?